You're listening to a recorded talk from Greenbelt Festival.
And I'm going to shut up now and hand over to Kate. We're in your hands and look forward to what you have to share with us.
Thank you very much. Hello, Greenbelt. This is a bit wild. Wow. Thank you to all the amazing people out in the rain. I'm just going to say hello to all of you first. Hi, people in the rain. We have to remember it's the rain that makes Greenbelt green. Yeah, so we love the rain. So, if you've come for donuts, spoiler alert, I don't have any. They're all conceptual. If you've come for conceptual donuts, you're in the right place. If you have come for an economic seminar, you're not going to get that either. Sorry. Because I just decided, seeing this place and being 53 years old, I just thought, you know what? It's time to have a bit of fun. So today is the grand launch. I've never done this before. In fact, I found this hat in a vintage shop yesterday. We are doing Economic Circus. Yes, we are. So this is a world first. I don't actually quite know what's going to happen in the next hour. Neither do you. We're going to have a lot of fun. I'm not taking questions because I don't have the answers. But what I'm hoping to do is explore the question of growth with you. And as my granddad taught me, tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them what you told them. So I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. What we're going to do together. First, we're going to talk about different kinds of growth. And what kind of growth do we want and value on this living planet? And what kind of growth actually isn't really good for us? Second, we're going to have a quick look at the green growth versus degrowth debate. Let's just see if that's in it. Hands up if you think the future is one of green growth. Hands up. Woo! Hands up if you think the future is one of degrowth. Excellent. We've got everybody in the house. And hands up if you really don't know yet. Brilliant. Fantastic. So we're going to look at that. We're going to make a graph. There will be no numbers, but there will be noodles. For anybody whose children now know how to swim, you will now discover swimming noodles are excellent for teaching economics. And then after that, we're going to look at some of the ways that our economy is currently addicted to economic growth. So we're going to look at the hard stuff, because I want to say we need to get beyond growth. That's where I personally stand. But I also recognize it is so much easier to say that than do that. So we're going to look at some of the hard stuff. And what I hope you will leave here with is not an answer. I've got no answer to convince you of today. What I hope you'll leave with is a real appreciation for the complexity of this issue, an appreciation for people, maybe sitting next to you, who hold a very different view from your own. Some humility, some curiosity, and some circus. So let's go. Are you ready?
Yes!
Excellent. So, first of all, I have to start with a donut. Yep, somebody just blew it up for me. Thank you very much, sir. Here is a donut. The reason I talk about donuts is because they're not the world's favorite sugary fried food. If there are doctors in the house, I'm going to do the warning now, okay? Please do not eat too many donuts. They're not good for us. The conceptual ones are best. And the reason I talk about donuts is because I think they give us a far better shape of progress than the current addiction to growth, which we heard from Labour Party, which we heard from the Conservatives in the run-up to this election. Growth. Here we are in the United Kingdom, one of the richest countries in the world, in 2024. And our politicians still tell us that the shape of progress and the thing we should really want is growth. That's what I want to challenge. So I prefer to start instead with what I think we should be for. Not critique, but to propose. And here is a donut. So the goal of the donut, if you think of humanity's use of Earth's resources radiating out from the center of this hole, we want to leave no one in the hole in the middle. Leave nobody in here, right? This is a place where people do not have the resources they need. And when you're at a festival, you pretty quickly know what you need in life. Give me a quick shout out. What do you need to live and survive? What do you need?
Toilets!
Toilets, yes. I'm glad to say water and sanitation is very much in the center of that. What else do you need once you've found a toilet?
Food.
What else?
Shelter.
Security.
Community.
You've all come here for community. We need housing, we need education, we need healthcare. So those are the things at the center of the donut. I crowdsourced them from the Sustainable Development Goals because all the world's governments have already agreed that nobody in the world should be left falling short on those. It's pretty well established. So leave no one in the hole. But this is a very big 21st century but. As we seek to use Earth's resources to meet our needs and our wants, we have so very many wants, we put pressure on the outer ring of this donut. We start to use so many resources. We start to cause climate breakdown. We acidify the oceans. Withdraw too much water. Convert too much land. Create biodiversity loss. Create a hole in the ozone layer. We start to go over these planetary boundaries that are the safety zones that keep Earth the most beautiful, delicately balanced, only known living planet in the universe. We'd be pretty crazy to go beyond those boundaries. So the goal of the zone donut is leave no one in the hole, don't overshoot the limits. And I just want to invite you to make the shape of what that would look like with your hands. It's like this. It's thriving in balance. Oh, you look lovely. Look at you. Yeah, feel it. I mean, just actually feel it. We know this in our bodies, right? Enough food, but not too much. Enough heat, not too much. Enough oxygen, water, not too much. We live, we survive because we are in balance. And our bodies tell us all the time how to bring ourselves back to balance. Can we take what we deeply know in the human body and bring that in understanding to the planetary body? That for me would be 21st century economics. So we want to thrive in the donut. Leave no one in the hole, don't overshoot the limits. So that's where I think we want to get to. But that's not where we are right now, is it? It's growth, growth, growth. And that's what we're going to look at today. So we're going to start by looking at two different kinds of growth. This is the intellectual bit. We're going to use some really nice words for two different kinds of growth. Let's see, this can be our... Right, here we go. First of all, yes. Thank you to the lady who's signing. Thank you, can we have a round of applause and thank you to the lady who's signing. So, this is a little tricky with a handheld mic, but it might make you laugh, so why not? There we are, that. It's called exponential growth. Can you see that curve? It goes up, 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 up. It goes through the ceiling. It does not stop. It goes to the top of the tent and out. It grows 2% or 3% or 4% year on year on year. It's exponential. And that's the really important point about it. It keeps increasing as a percentage of itself. So it goes through the ceiling. Now, the other kind of growth that I want you to think about today... Siri, would you come up? This is my daughter. She's ever so handy. By the way, Siri is not AI. She's... The app was named after her. 6 months after her. Right, can you just hold that for me? Right. So, that's exponential growth. This is logistic growth, right? Or sometimes people call it S-curve. So let's say exponential.
Exponential.
Logistic.
Logistic.
Exponential.
Logistic.
You see, it's just a little flick of the wrist, but it changes everything. You're going to go home and like with these big words, right? This is a very intellectual festival. It's important, right? Now, what you notice about this logistic curve, and I'm going to go with my nose here. Do you see this bit? This bit is exponential. It's in there. Yeah, you can say it again. Go on. Exponential. It's in there. It's a part of it. It's a phase. It goes through exponential growth, but then it grows up and it flattens off. And that's what enables it to survive and thrive. It doesn't go through the ceiling. It levels out. So exponential and logistic. I now ask you to take 90 seconds, turn to one or two people next to you. You've got 90 seconds to come up with one example of something in the world, anything you like, It could be social, political, natural, ecological, cultural, anything. Something that grows either exponentially, on and on and on and on and on, or it grows logistically. Okay, come up with an example of something that you think either does that or something that you think does that. Ready, go! Okay! Come back, come back, come back, come back! See how handy a noodle is? Okay, what we're gonna do is I'm gonna point my noodle. I've been watching Miranda on repeat for the last week, so sorry, if you hear things, that's up to you. That lady down there cackling, that wasn't me. Okay, I'm gonna point this noodle as we go around the room. As the noodle passes you, you can shout out your idea, okay? So it's gonna go all the way around. We're gonna go this way for logistic growth, and we're gonna come back for exponential growth, okay? You ready? I said, are you ready?
Yes!
Okay, let's go. So, examples, please, of logistic growth. Here we go. You got to shout really loud so the people right across the tent can hear you. Population, thank you very much, sir. Trees. People. Electric vehicles. Healthcare. Mobile phones.
Bacteria
and tomatoes. Don't muddle them up.
Pandemic.
Happiness. Wow, getting deep here. Say again. Who? Crisp eating, yes. Yeast. Happiness. Food production, housing. Nature, we got. Babies. Babies? Exactly what aspect of babies, madam? She's so right. I'm going to just do a little repeat demo. So I have twins, and when they can stand, you do that thing on the edge of the door and you mark on the wall, right? And they grew 2 inches a year and a year, and they grew 2 inches a year. Come back. And then, look what happens. She's only 15. You better stop now, okay? I'm now the smallest member of my family except for the cat. I did not bargain on that. But the point is, thank you, babies, exactly. And then they grow up and thank goodness. Because if she keeps going 2 inches, 2 inches, she literally won't fit in the front door. She literally can't sit at the table. She literally would not belong in our home. So instead of growing and growing and growing, what do we do instead? We start to, what do people say when a child goes, you know, to university or off out of the world? Oh, they are thriving. I heard that. Can you thrive, please? Oh, yes, there. Yeah. Yay, thriving. Lovely. So babies, we got to babies, right? We can just come to the end here.
Civilization.
Pension savings. Ooh. We'll come back to that one, thank you very much. How wet you can get at a festival. Brilliant. Okay, excellent. So, and somebody said nature, which captured so many of the examples you gave. So, now let's go back the other way, right? So we're going to do the old, what's this one called?
Exponential.
Right. Now I want some examples of things that grow or try to grow exponentially through the ceiling. Are we ready? Let's go.
Political bullshit.
Political bullshit. Who? Compound interests. We're not mucking around here. We're going straight to the point. Who? What of the universe? Well, that's a very interesting expansion of the universe. Has anybody been reading science magazines recently? Do you know what shape scientists currently think the universe is? I'll give you a clue. People laughed when I called it the donut. Well, you know what? It's actually universal. So, take that. But that might not be true. It might be exponential. You might be right. Right, any more exponentials? Who? Clouds. Storage. Oh, iCloud. The cloud storage. But it's trying to grow exponentially, but can it grow exponentially? Cancer. It tries to grow exponentially, and it would kill the host that it was in, right? So when we hear that somebody we know has cancer, when a doctor says, you know, you have a growth, we literally move as fast as we can to stop that growth because we know in our own bodies that is a threat to the health of the whole. So we deeply understand that growth in our bodies in a delicately balanced whole is not a good thing. We end it. Knotweed. Yep, knotweed. It tries. Say again. Taylor Swift's bank account. Can we name a few male bank accounts just while we're here, please? Elon Musk's bank account. Toxicity on Twitter. Lumberjacks. Monk jacks. Oh, little critters that don't have a predator. They do. And what happens when an animal that doesn't have a predator grows exponentially? It destroys other parts of the ecosystem. All other living beings hope we're listening at the moment, right? Entropy. Oh, physicists are in the house. Love it. Rhododendrons. We'll put those with the knotweed. Anyone live here? Say again. Ivy. Right, so we've got some things that try to grow exponentially, and they can destroy the system around it or smother it and take it out of balance. So I invite you to think about growth in the way that Danella Meadows invites us to think about growth. Where's she gone? Book, 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 book. Where's Dana Meadows? Oh, there it is. Right. Danella Meadows, she was one of the mothers of systems thinking, one of the authors of the Limits to Growth report in 1972. If she was still alive, I really wish I could have dinner with her. You know that thing of who would you have dinner? She's the person I'd sit down for dinner with. Here's what Danella Meadows has to say about growth to politicians. I'm going to squint down because without my reading glasses, I can't quite see. Here we go. Danella Meadows said, growth is one of the stupidest purposes ever invented by any culture. We've got to have an enough. And she said, if anyone ever says we need more growth, you always must ask, growth of what? And why? And for whom? And who pays the cost? And how long can it last? And what's the cost to the planet? And how much is enough? So every time we hear ourselves either saying, I need something in my life to grow, or politicians saying we need to grow the economy, these are really wiser questions, because sometimes we do need things to grow, but not endlessly, like it just becomes a goal in itself. So now that we've played with exponential and logistic growth, we're going to move on to the big debate, green growth versus degrowth. For this, I ask for two volunteers who love swimming noodles to come up on the stage. There are no numbers, there are no tests. You just have to come and be playful. Come on, kitty. Terrible if you actually know someone in the audience you can like. Come on, kitty, come and help me. Yes, would you like to come up? Brilliant. It's the lumberjack lady, the monk jack lady. Yes, right. So what we're going to do, can I have a round of applause for volunteers? What's your name?
Anna.
Anna and Kizzy. Okay. Right, I've not done this before. Neither have they, neither of you. So we're all in it together. Hang on, let me see. I've got to get some noodles. So we need two noodles, a blue one and a red one. Right, here's the blue. Anna is going to be like a year 1990. You're the base of the graph, Anna, and your job is just to hold the noodle at waist height and point it over towards Kizzy. Kizzy, can you hold that? There we go. And Kizzy, you are going to be this, like, now, okay? So we're looking at a graph, and that's the axis over time. This is GDP. And what's going to happen to it over time? Now, to make this really fun, I was up at midnight doing these, so I really hope you like them. We're going to put a little band on it saying GDP. Right. GDP. What's GDP stand for?
Gross domestic
product. Whoa! Wow, okay. And what is gross domestic product? I won't ask you all to say it at once, just to bring everyone along. So gross domestic product. It's the total financial value of goods and services that are produced in a country in a year. Okay, so it's all the stuff that gets bought and sold in a country in a year. So it counts ticket sales to come to a festival. It doesn't count the joy of standing in the rain, because you didn't pay for that bit. It counts childminders. It doesn't count the value of a mum or dad staying at home and looking after their own kids. It counts hospital beds and time spent in hospital. It doesn't count the people who didn't get lung respiratory disease because there wasn't pollution where they live, right? So it counts the things that are bought and sold. It doesn't count the value of community. It doesn't count the value of unpaid work. It doesn't count the value of biodiversity created by a forest. It just counts the value of the timber when you chopped it down. So it's a very financial, useful, but very financial measure, and it no way touches anywhere close to what actually the well-being of a society or a community is. So that's GDP. But when economists and politicians talk about growth, that is what they're talking about. They're talking about GDP going up or down. So over the last 20, 30 years, the UK's GDP, you hold it there because you're the base, that's it, you just hold it. There we go, the UK's GDP has gone up. And it's exponential, right? We're not going to bother too much about bending it, but it's exponential. It's growing year on year on year on year. And that's what economists and politicians in every country want. Now, the real question today, because we also know we've got planetary boundaries, is what's happening to our impact on the planet. So let's start. This is where it gets very skillful. Now you have to hold two. Hold two. You ready? This one's going to... Yeah, no, they're both going to move. Okay. Yes, I made this at midnight too. Can we have this one? So GDP going up more. Can you have GDP going up? And this one's coming down. Can we take this one down? Can you separate them?
Yeah.
Is that hard?
No.
Okay, separate them. Hold them separately with different hands. No, you hold them together. You just got to hold them together. So GDP, Kizzy, hold. GDP goes up. Up, 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 up. No, 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 don't bend it. Just let it go straight up like this. Whee! There we go. And this one is going down. Okay, now, this is the dream, okay? This is the green growth dream. That GDP can keep going up. We're going to make it a little bit concave. Whee! There we are. That's it. You're doing beautifully. While CO2 goes down. Now, here's the green growth versus degrowth debate I want you to get. Green growth people believe, with some good reasons, that we can do this. We can have an economy that keeps growing and growing and growing while carbon emissions goes down. So we're decarbonizing the economy and we're still growing. And that would be green growth, wouldn't it? Right? That's the argument. Now, it's a bit more complicated than that. First of all, what matters is not just the CO2 that we produce here in this country. What matters is all the embodied CO2. So just take a look around you right now, right where we are. The clothes we're wearing, probably most of them were not made in this country. There's embodied CO2 in the clothes. In all the lights, the microphones, the computers, the equipment, that was not made in the UK. There was CO2 to make these imports for us. Food, all the stuff we buy in our houses, right? So we've used CO2 that's been emitted in other countries. We need to be taking that into account too. Otherwise, we'd just be offshoring our carbon emissions and saying, yay, us. No, we take account of that. I love the dramatic music. This is the carbon question. So, first of all, we're talking about consumption-based CO2. Secondly, but you know what? It's still been going down. In recent years, it has. And that's why the green growth community say, yes, we're doing it. Even consumption-based carbon emissions are going down while GDP is going up. Here's the kicker, folks. It's not going down anywhere near fast enough. You know, I was telling you about planetary boundaries. In our graph, the stage is now going to be the boundary. So CO2 needs to, give this one to me, the neat, let go, there we go. Ooh, you hold that one. You're going to hold it all the way, Anna. Hold it. Okay. The CO2 needs to go down 5 times faster than it currently is. Do you get that? It needs to be falling 5 times faster than it currently is. So to say that we've achieved green growth in this country is not true. We are nowhere close to the scale of decarbonisation that we need. We're not falling at the speed or scale fast enough. And I'm going to add another one. I made this closer to 1 a.m. That was just carbon. Somebody shout out while I slip this little garter on the noodle. What are the materials we should be thinking about when we're thinking about a green economy?
Methane,
and that would be another greenhouse gas. What materials? Lithium, there you go. Hold it there, that's it. Lithium, copper, so all metal ores, all biomass, all wood, all food, all water use, land use. We are consuming Earth's resources in generating our GDP. And when we take account of materials, we haven't decoupled anything like, in fact, it's closer to, hold it there. It's closer to still going up. Not as much as GDP, but it ain't falling, folks. It ain't falling. So this is the conundrum. For anybody who actually wants a future that's green growth, this is what we've got to solve. Now, I'm going to now lean into the green growth argument. Let's take advantage of this moment together where some people think green growth, some people think degrowth, some people don't know. This is a beautiful opportunity to learn and empathize with other perspectives. So, if you think that we could, hold that one steady and let's go down. Right, if you think we could widen this and even widen it, let go of it, that far so it hits the floor, that we could decarbonize and dematerialize at the speed and scale required by, let's give it 2040, 2050, right? To do what this country has an international moral responsibility to do, given our history of industrial revolution and our scale of impact. If you think we could do this, can you shout out now something? It doesn't have to be the whole answer. That's not fair, right? Shout out something that you think is a possibility that could make this scale of decoupling possible. Active travel. Thank you. That is definitely going to be part of a solution. Get out of cars. Get onto bikes. We're using far fewer materials or even trains instead of private vehicles. Great example. What else? Renewable energy. Yes? Although renewable energy, of course, we have to use a lot of materials, the lithium, the copper that everyone was talking about. So there's going to be a material intensity of shifting energy systems. Decarbonisation, ironically, means a rematerialisation to create the assets, the infrastructure to generate energy from the sun and the wind. So it's desalination. Is that, yep? Yes. Okay. One way of getting access to clean water so that and fresh water, so that we're not importing it from Egypt, which is draining its fossil water to grow potatoes that we buy in our supermarkets. It's insane. What else?
A pandemic that actually killed a lot of more.
Ooh! 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 Oh, the y-axis is getting very political over here. What else? Well, this side of the room. Or we could go a bit further. We could go vegan. Plant-based diets, right? We know that producing plant-based food uses way, way, way less water and land and pesticides and all that stuff than producing the absurd amounts of livestock in the world. What else? Shopping secondhand. Yes, so the beginnings of a circular economy, right? Where we repair and we reuse and we refurbish and we upcycle instead of take, make, use, lose. Organic farming, right? So we are restoring and regenerating the soil instead of depleting. I'm going to take two more. Tax materials, lovely example. So at the moment we've inherited economies that tend to tax labor, right? You tax a company for employing people. Bad, bad company, you've employed people, we're going to tax you for it. So many economists say that's insane. Let's instead make it attractive to employ people. Don't we want jobs? Let's tax the use of materials that haven't been used. I can't bear to call them virgin materials. You know the word virgin means created for man. So that word's out of my vocabulary for many reasons. But materials that have not yet been used should be taxed. Right, okay, so there's lots of reasons that people are giving. And then there's the question of, but will it be enough? And if we go for that, and there's lots more technologies people are talking about, geoengineering and putting up clouds in the sky, or acidifying the oceans, or different ways of trapping the sun's rays. Or if we go for that, and it's still not enough, then we still go over these planetary boundaries. So there's real reasons why people have concerns that, fingers crossed, we'll make it with green growth. Because the growth machine, you must be getting a sore arm by now, right? It takes a lot of energy to hold up the economy, right? And that's what Kizzy's doing. Humanly demonstrated here. But this growth machine is strong. And that's what we're going to talk about in a minute. What is driving this endless growth? So I want you just to think, if we had to get this level of decoupling, these examples that have been given, yes, will they be enough? And if they're not enough, we get the growth, but we do not hit the planetary boundaries. So that's why a lot of people are saying, I don't believe it. I'm not going to put my eggs in that basket. I don't trust it. I want actually a different future where we remove the growth centricity from the economy. It's because this thing keeps going up. Like, what if, because you bring this one flat, what if we, there's still a gap, but that gap's got smaller. If GDP was just flat, it just stayed the same as it is now, then it reduces the amount of work we have to do, the gap between. Or if you go where many degrowth people go, down a bit, down. Oh, maybe GDP actually needs to come down in absolute terms, at least for a bit. And this is what most people arguing for degrowth argue for. And I want to be really clear about the meaning of degrowth. They're not focused on this. Degrowth scholars, it's about a planned reduction in the less necessary consumption and production of goods and use of materials so that they come back within planetary boundaries in a just and democratic way. So degrowth, its definition actually focuses on this. But what really makes the difference is that most people who would identify as a degrowth scholar activist would say, and I believe that in order to make that happen, this thing, GDP, is going to have to come down at least for a time, and then it's going to have to level off. So we have to take the growthism out of the economy. Now, the challenge of that, there are many policies you could start putting into place, but there's challenges, and we're going to move to that in a minute. I would like you to give a big, big thank you to Kizzy and Anna for helping with this draft. Thank you both so much. Okay, so we've gone exponential and logistic growth. We've looked at degrowth and green growth. I haven't invited the degrowth people to give examples of degrowth policies yet, because actually I want to jump to what I find the hardest part of taking a degrowth position, of saying I think GDP needs to go down, or at least it needs to flatten out. I personally think that's what needs to happen. We need to take the growth drive, the addiction to growth, out of our economy. But it ain't easy, and I want to empathize right now with politicians who have to actually keep this economy going, because this economy and all high-income economies are structurally dependent on growth. It's been designed into our assumptions and our expectations, thanks to 100 years of fossil fuels making it just happen. Cheap energy is a wonderful way to keep expanding and expanding and expanding. So I want to bring up, and I need some more volunteers by now. Still doesn't hurt, no numbers, no, it's fun, it's really fun. Okay, I've got four ways that I want to share with you that I think our economies are currently structurally dependent on endless growth. So I need four people to come up. And then while I do that, if anyone has a fifth way that you're burning for it to be up here, you can think of it and write it down, okay? That's planting. Right. I would like somebody please to come up. Is there anybody in the house whose name is Rachel? Rachel, please would you come up? Oh, she's just been volunteered. There we go. Rachel, round of applause for Rachel. Oh, she wanted to stretch her legs. It works. It's a win-win. It's a win-win. There we are. Rachel is, can you guess who Rachel is being? Rachel Reeves. Thank you very much. So, one of the ways that we are structurally dependent on endless growth is our current chancellor. Yay for a female chancellor. Yes. Our chancellor and our government's policy now, as you hear growth, 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 they said we won't raise taxes. But we need more revenue because a lot of damage has been done to public services. So we really need growth. It's a wonderful way to raise tax revenue without raising the tax rate. I'll say that again, right? If you want to raise tax revenue, the billions and billions that come in from taxes, without raising the tax rate, growth is your friend. No wonder Rachel Reeves wants growth. So you're going to stand here. When that gets tiring, you can drop your hands a little bit. Okay,
but I'm okay for now.
You're okay for now. Wonderful. Can you hold it out just like they do on budget day? There we go. Right. Okay. This is a very clear reason. We hear it in policy making and Labour's policies already. It's very strong. Okay. I need a number two volunteer, somebody who's a bit of a shark. Yes. Anybody self-identify as a bit of a shark? Come on up, come on up. You? Here she comes. Here she comes. Come on, shark, come on. Now, another reason why people say we need growth is because of debt, right? Public debt, but also private debt. Come up, what's your name?
Joel
is going to be our tax shark. Right, stand here next to Rachel. You get, Joel, a debt sign. There we are. You're the debt collector. But Joel, you also get a mafia hat, because you are a shady... I'm afraid you don't, Rachel. I couldn't figure out what hat Rachel Reeves would wear. And you get a shark. So, we've got a loan shark. Right? Joel is coming. Now, he may be your bank. He may be your mortgage lender. He may be behind your credit card. He may be the dodgy loan shark. But he wants his compound interest on that loan, right? So, the compound interest that's behind your loan means... you really want your income to grow. And we're a highly indebted country. We've spent on consumer goods. So if growth would be a wonderful way of earning the money, and we can pay back our friend, the loan shark, Joel. Right. I need a third volunteer. Anybody out here who has not retired but is saving for a pension? Come on, there's lots of us. Would you like to come up and be my pension holder? Right, thank you very much. Could you move a little bit further along, Rachel? So I know nobody talks to the Chancellor like this, but there we go. Right. What's your name?
Helen.
Helen, the pension saver. Come and stand next to Joel, the loan shark. So Joel, the loan shark, is after people who have credit, right? They're in debt. He owes them money. But Helen's in the opposite position. She's saving. So she wants compound interest to be quite high, or she wants dividends from companies. Now, people, when they're saving for pension, they say, you know, put away a nice little nest egg, right? Save for a... Oh, look, you've got a nest egg. Oh, yeah. There you go. See what she did there? So Helen is saving for her pension. And like any one of us here, right, you've got a pension. And our pensions, mostly invested by the pension companies in stocks and shares. So we, through the design of pensions, have a vested interest in companies making profits year on year, actually quarter on quarter on quarter on quarter, because that gives a return on the dividends, so that when you put your little nest egg away and save a little bit, you're hoping that it's grown. That's how we live in our old age. It was structurally dependent on growth, even in the design of our own pensions. So this is personal. So, one more. Aha, somebody who fancies themselves on the global stage, please. Anybody? Come and be a bit of power. I need a bit of power up here, a bit of power. Come on. Here comes Luke. Give him a cheer. There we go. You, Luke. Now, on the global stage, that's going on the floor in front of you. Power. Okay, and now this is the one that actually keeps me awake at night. Not Luke, sorry. I mean you might, but this conundrum. Okay, every nation wants to keep growing to keep up with its neighbours that want to keep growing to keep up with it, to keep its place in the G20, to keep its geopolitical power, to buy its weapons. There you are, sir. Careful with that. Okay, so. A growing economy is a geopolitical asset. And actually, the news in recent months, more and more talk about military budgets. We need to increase our military spending. Russia, China, Ukraine. It's building. So governments are saying, oh, yes, we need more GDP to do this, to protect you for security. So it's a pretty big conundrum. Now, I'm just going to ask quickly, is there anybody who thinks there is a fifth one that has to be here? I can't believe she hasn't put it up here. There's a fifth issue. I mean, I know there's many, many, many more ways we're locked into growth, but has anyone got a really burning one?
Poverty eradication.
Poverty eradication. Where's that coming from? Hello. And how would growth eradicate poverty? There's lots of people who have no money. And are we sure that a growing national economy will sort that? But we can, you know what? You can bring it up. Do you want to come and bring it up? Okay, come on then. What's your name?
Simon
is coming over the back of the stage to bring us poverty eradication. Excellent. Thank you, Simon. And you get your very own sign. Can you write it on there? There you go. Write it on there. Right. Can I have a little quick round of applause for our excellent volunteers? Right, we've got about 10 minutes to sort this, people, okay? So what I want you to do, actually, I'm going to give you 1 minute first. I think Bertrand Russell said something like, you know, if you've got an hour to solve a problem, spend 59 minutes thinking of the question, but actually we're not going to do that. You're going to spend 1 minute thinking of your answer with a person next to you. The question is there any of these that you think you could end this country's structural dependency on growth by solving this problem a different way? Is there a different way we could raise enough taxes in this country without depending on growth? Is there a different way we could overcome our debts without depending endlessly on growth? Could we save for our pensions without it utterly depending on growth? Could we have power and standing in the world without just ensuring we grow? Could we eradicate poverty without depending on growth? 1 minute to a person next to you, come up. A bit like that balloon thing. We're not chucking anyone out of the balloon, but we're allowing them to sit down if we think we can overcome that one. Go. Come back. We are about to solve the growth addiction in the United Kingdom. This is a very exciting tent. Right, now, let's do this with order. How should we go? I'm going to point my noodle. All the women laugh. I'm going to point my noodle over here, Jenny. Anybody want to shout out with a nice, clear word, one of these issues, shout the issue that you think you've got a better solution for. The gentleman in the orange jacket. Debt and usury. And can you say one more thing about how you would end usury? And usury is the charging of interest. Right. So if we could redesign monetary systems so that they no longer lent money at interest, compound interest. Can we have a rousing sound in the room? If you think, yes, I think that's a good idea and we could actually, with ambition, end debt, cheer for that. There have, of course, been attempts, right? Debt jubilees. Some cultures have a cancellation of debt when the chief or the king dies. They kind of, you know, reset. It's like when you go around the Monopoly board, okay, let's sort all the money out again. We start again because it compounds and compounds. So you think we could take out debt. Shall we say that we think that's one we could do and we're going to ask debt to sit down? We're just going to hear a quick concern about that. Yes, sir. So he's saying there's a time value to money, that it's a scarce resource and you need it to have value over time. So we're going, we need another hour.
Thomas Aquinas would disagree.
Oh, that's a nuclear weapon, sir. You can't speak into it.
Thomas Aquinas would profoundly disagree. Time is a gift of God. It's not a commodity to be sold. It has been.
Thank you. Right. It is a beautiful experience to hear the opinions of others, right? We're not going to solve this. Thank you. There is a deep tension in the design of money. And I'm just going to say one thing here. Money is an entirely human construct. We invented it. We made it up. There's nothing unnatural or immutable or unchangeable about it. We can redesign money. Personally, I think that changing the design of money to make it compatible with a living planet is a big project. What that means for an interest rate or end of year, this is a really big question. Thank you. So
Joel, Mr. Declan, I'm going to ask you to sit down for a moment, just because otherwise we'll never solve this, people. We'll never get anywhere. You can choose your favourite armchair. Right. What's next? I'm going to point over here. Somebody, which issue would you like to come up with a better solution to? Yes, madam.
Power.
Ooh, take it on. Thank you. If this tent feels... What's your name? If this tent feels Stephanie's proposal to change military spending into peace building internationally is a goer, give her a big cheer. Okay. I think we're going to go with that one.
Putin.
Yeah. Oh, go on. Say more, say more.
One-word response. Putin.
Give us a sentence behind your one-word response. So this is really a conundrum, right? It's not, I mean... Yeah, this is why it keeps me awake at night. This is a conundrum. For the sake of time... Have a seat, Luke, have a seat. Right, we've got poverty around it. Of course, we're not solving these, but what we're hearing is the dilemmas. We're hearing some possibilities. You're going to go away and we'll come back next year. We'll have it, okay? Next year, people. Right. Say again?
Universal basic income.
And what are you solving for?
Well, you can get rid of pensions and poverty.
Okay.
Because you would obviously distribute wealth and everyone would have at least a similar starting point. So yes. You wouldn't have people with poverty, you wouldn't need a pension because you'd be guaranteed your income until then. And that means that people in communities could look after our aged population as well, so we could take out some of the taxi stuff as well, because there'd be a proper distribution of wealth amongst the population.
Wow. You like that? Does anybody want to say a concern? Because since we've had concerns about everything else... No, wait, listen. This is a place of respectful disagreement. Gentleman in the yellow jacket, in the rain. Corruption, say more. So you're worried that if we had a big system of universal basic income, that it would be taken apart by corrupt... You, maybe. Anybody else got... Yeah, you in the... I'm going for the people in the rain because they're so brilliant. Yeah. Tax the rich. We'll come back to that one in a minute. And then the one behind you. Ooh. Okay, wait. Come back. Right, we're going to take a quick shout vote on this. So universal basic income, basic idea, everybody gets the cash. Universal basic services, everybody has access free at the point of use to health, education, childcare, transport, food. I want a really quick take in the room. Boats. For right now, both is a great idea. Rachel Reeves might say, where am I going to get the money? Just for right now, just for the sake of the feel of the room, if you think you'd rather go for the income option, shout income. If you'd rather go for the services option, shout
services.
Woo! Okay. Well, there's another wonderful debate we can keep having. We're going to finish with this lady and her tax box. How could the UK raise more tax revenue without raising the tax rate?
Tax rate.
Who? It's behind you. I feel like I'm in a... What was that?
Tax
the rich. Which ones? How? Rachel, who are you going to actually tax after listening to the people of Greenbelt?
Corporations, big corporations who aren't paying, who are tax evasions. And who
are we getting this on camera? And we get...
Oh, nom doms, my friends are telling me down here. I listen to the people. So.
Excellent. Okay. Can we have all of our five addictions to growth back up again, please? We have to wrap up, people. A big round of applause for all these wonderful volunteers. I'm going to let you go down, sit down, and then I'm just going to wrap up. Thank you so much. As my grandfather told me, tell him what you're going to tell him. Tell him. Now I've got to tell you what I told you. Right. So, there's an egg rolling across the stage. So, the goal is to meet the needs of all people within the means of the living planet. You could say it looks a bit like a donut, if you're that way inclined. Growth can be, what is it?
Exponential.
Or it can be, excuse me.
Logistic.
Logistic. Which one do you think really is going to do better in the long run on this planet? So what if we designed our economic institutions and our own desires to be logistic? I invite you to go home away from this and thinking, what actually do I want to grow in my life? And when would I know that I have enough of it? That would be a beautiful thought. So logistic growth. Whether you think degrowth or green growth is the way forward, I hope you'll appreciate more the challenges of which one you are for. Green growth, yeah, there's some things we can do, but no country in the world is yet decarbonizing and dematerializing at the speed and scale required to show it's possible. So there's a bit of a risk here that we are hanging on a dream. And as we just saw, the addictions to growth, and that was just some of them, the addictions to growth are very, very strong in the capital machine. So I think it's really key to turn our attention to them and figure out how is our economy currently addicted to endless growth and how can we remove that structural dependency on growth? Because whether the economy keeps going up or levels out or goes down a bit, that's not what we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to a thriving, regenerative, distributive economy that meets the needs of all within the means of the planet. So thank you very, very much for talking with me today about growth. It's been fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to this recorded talk. Explore our full Greenbelt Festival Talks archive with almost 20 years of recorded talks and podcasts for free at greenbelt.org.uk/talks.